We want to go ahead, and I'm going to try today to finish up the series on You and I Were Created to Worship. And Munji, I think the PowerPoint, oh great, he's already on it. He's a step ahead. Thank you. I really believe that God has created you and I to celebrate the salvation He has given us, the freedom that He has given us, and just the fact that one day we will be with Him for all of eternity, worshiping Him and praising Him. And I really believe that God is a God of celebration, a God of rejoicing. And today we want to go ahead and look at Jesus as He moves through life and He comes into life. And as we look at Jesus' life and even beyond that, we see that many of His major movements that He's involved in begin or started with celebration. And we talked about this a little bit last time. But let's go ahead and hit it. Let's see if we can. First of all, when we look at Jesus' birth, we see that angels come and they begin to celebrate and rejoice. In Scripture, in Luke 2, it says, "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, and they were meditating." They were deep in prayer. No, we know that's not what it says. It says that they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And I'm sure it didn't sound like that. I'm sure it sounded a lot better than that and a lot more of praising. And what did the shepherds, when they heard that, what was their response? It says later that after they had seen this glorious sight of the salvation of God in Jesus Christ, that they returned glorifying and praising God. We see that we have talked about in sort of our main scriptures. We went through this all the way from Easter, Matthew 21. And when Jesus, I haven't gotten there yet, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, celebration one of His baptism, that God says from heaven, that He says to Jesus, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with You I'm well pleased." He's telling His Son in a way of celebrating over Him in all that He is and will do. Also that when Jesus' ministry begins in John, we see that John depicts it as a beginning through a celebration of a wedding. And at that wedding, they run out of wine, which was a problem. And Jesus' mom came to Him and says to the servants, "Hey, you just talk to Jesus and He'll take care of you." And Jesus says, "Hey, my time has not come yet. My ministry is not starting. You know, hey, let's hold on here." But He goes ahead and He changes water into wine, and they find out that that was the best wine at the celebration of a wedding. We see that Jesus, as He moves towards His death and resurrection, that as He goes into Jerusalem, we talked about this in Matthew 21, that there was a celebration going on. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is the name of the Lord. We see a celebration going on there. And even at His resurrection, of course, there's a celebration that Jesus, He's not here. Don't look for Him here. He is alive. When Jesus moves from heaven to earth, we see immediately an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the beginning of the ministry of the Spirit in the church, a major movement. And well, some people sort of in the youth area have called this a Holy Ghost party. And they have a song that goes, "There ain't no party like the Holy Ghost party, because the Holy Ghost party don't stop." And really, when you know the Spirit moving in your life, that's right. The Holy Ghost party doesn't stop. And through this, Peter is moved. He preaches. People come to know the Lord, and the people are crying out, "What must we do to be saved?" He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Again, a major movement of Jesus is started by a large celebration, I believe, in the heavenly realms with the outpouring of the Spirit to all people. And last of all, the greatest celebration we see is at the end in Revelations. And we read this. It says, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne, the living creatures and the elders in one loud voice," not a quiet voice, a loud voice, "they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory,'" and they end it with praise. Gets even more. "And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen, truly this is the truth.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." A big celebration going on. Are you celebrating? And I just don't mean here on Sunday when you wake up in the morning. Are you seeing a little bit more than "I don't have coffee" or "I have to go to work"? Are you seeing a little bit more? Is your heart in the celebrating mode? At least to God, our Father Almighty. God loves to celebrate and rejoice. And I believe you and I were created to celebrate. And we see that we will do that in all of eternity. Now, as we look at those celebrations going on through Jesus' initial startup ministry, through his birth, through his death and resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and then the end days and times, there's a common thread that we see. There's a common thread that goes throughout all of those. And in celebration, in parties, what is one thing that you usually see there? Let's say you are having a birthday party or a baptism party or a graduation party. What is one thing that you'll see there? All right. Excellent. We think, oh man, there's going to be food. Right? Maybe some music. You're going to have a fun time. But the common thread in every celebration, Andrew, I believe, said it, other people. And if you think about it, who wants to go to a party where there's no other people? Now, some of you, yeah, you're like, yeah, I kind of like the lone thing. I like doing that. But the thing in celebration, the thing in praise, the reason that we're here today is because of others. And I believe that celebrating in God's kingdom is communal. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That you and I were created to celebrate together. 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 So one warning that we could post on our church or in our life as Christians is don't party alone. Don't celebrate alone. Life is meant to be celebrated and rejoiced together. God wants to celebrate with us and us with Him. And God, as we read through scriptures, there's always someone else there. And usually there's a lot. 1,000 upon 1,000, 10,000s upon 10,000s. Every creature on earth and under the earth and in heaven. All the elders, all the angels and a heavenly host came together. It is communal that we do this together, and God wants us to do it together. And when we talk about here on earth, one thing comes to mind when we say worship together. Church. That's us right now. Church, the people together celebrating and rejoicing before the Lord. Now, I know many of you are like, oh, it's more than that. Yeah, it's more than that. But right now, we're talking about celebration. Remember Pastor Kim, Young Kim, at our youth retreat? The first thing he started with is religion without relationship is toxic. That when you're not focused, and he was speaking about our relationship with Jesus, a deep, heartfelt relationship of intimacy, of love with Him. But also, as we'll find out later, is with one another. That celebrating the church, that celebrating that church and God is about community, is about relationships. Now, when we look at God's character and God's nature, we very much see this communal aspect or relational aspect about Him. First of all, we just look at God and we say God is a Trinitarian God. There's three: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even in self in God, there's a relational aspect going on that God has prepared it that way. We talk about creation. In the beginning of creation, and when He talks about man and woman or humans, it says, let me, no, it says, let us make God or make man in our image. Let us. And in there, it speaks again about the Trinity. God didn't need us, but He created us to be with Him, to be in the image of Him and in community. We go on, even the beginning of our word from God in Genesis, and it talks about the man. And He looks at man and, you know, this is good, but we have a problem. What was the problem with man? He was alone. So it's saying that man needed a wife. God's talking about, in a sense here, marriage. That man needs a helper. I can say amen to that. The older I get, I can say amen twice. Amen, amen. And probably 20 years from now, I'll need my wife even more as a helper. I got some serious problems, especially with memory. But God is creating, in His very nature, is community, is relationships. Talks about the family. Even in Genesis, go out, be fruitful, and multiply. Have a family. Talks about when we move into today and our church, disciples. He chose one disciple. That was it. No, there are 12 disciples. When He sent them out by twos. There's a relationship going on that He knows is very important. I like John 17, and He talks about fully about the community, the relationship that He, the Son, has with the Father, and that we have with the Son, and we, through Jesus, have with the Father. I have given them the glory, Jesus is saying this, I have given them the glory that You gave Me, Father, that they may be one as We are one. I and them and You and Me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Now, if you try to think about that, you're like, whoa, connection, connection, relationship, connection. God's very nature is about relationships. Even in the last days, when we come before the Lord, it talks about many nations, peoples coming before Him and praising Him. John, as he records in Revelations, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. It's interesting that they have these palm branches that goes back to very much what we're talking about in Matthew 21 with the triumphal entry and people shouting Hosanna again, coming together for the purpose of God. Not only does God's character testify of His community and relationship, but is very much of His commands testify of it. What is God's greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And He goes on to say in Matthew, the other one is like this. The other one is like this. That they're not necessarily separate, or one is higher or greater than the other, but the other one is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. that loving God is like loving others. And loving others is like loving God. 1 John 4 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." In verse 19, he goes on to say, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." When we come here today, our focus is on God. But in some way, we must understand as we come here today that our focus is also on the brother and sister. That as we love God, that we love our brother and sister, and as we love our brother and sister, we are loving God. A pastor once said to me, you know, in my relationship with God as I grew, one thing became evident. Spending time with my wife was one of the most holy things I could do. What he was saying, that in my relationship with my wife, it was very important. This man was a holy man. He spent much time with God. But he understood also that his relationship with his wife, just as his relationship with others, at the same time, was a holy action. Celebrating. We connect that with church. We connect that with God. It's about relations and community. And I believe that you and I were created to celebrate together. As we go and we look through scriptures and we see scriptures connected with salvation, especially the parables, and scriptures about the kingdom, it talks about community. He talks about in Luke 15, he gives a parable about a man who has 100 sheep. One of the sheep wander away, runs away. Where'd he go? He leaves the 99, he goes and gets the sheep. And it says, then when he finds the sheep, what happens? What does he do? Anybody know? Okay, he celebrates. He goes and collects all of his neighbors. And you're right, he celebrates. But he goes and he gets all of his neighbors. He doesn't do it alone. He's not like, yeah, I got the lamb. Praise the Lord. He goes and he gets all of his neighbors. And he celebrates. In the next one that we have, I shouldn't bring this up and you can't look. Woman loses a coin. Now this coin is probably not a penny, a quarter of that. It probably has a much greater worth than that. And sweeps the house, looks under every nook and cranny, finally finds the coin. And what does she do? Yeah, she celebrates. Okay, I'll let you say the other part. Goes and runs. Gets all the friends and neighbors and brings them in and says, let us rejoice together. Together. Even with the parable of the lost son comes back home and he repents and says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. I've sinned against you. You know, in the sense, please forgive me. And it switches in verse 22. There's a quick switch. It says, but, the Father, what does he do? He's like, that's great. That's awesome. We need to do that. But I want to celebrate, for what was lost is now is found. What was dead is now alive. And he says, let us, not me. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to go into my back room, close the door, woo, and then come out. He says, let us get all the servants, everyone in my household. And let us kill the fattened calf. Let us get the robe and the ring and put it on him. And let us celebrate together. You and I were created to celebrate, but we're not just created to celebrate alone. It's a communal thing. It's about with one another. And I would even say that, that if you have something to celebrate and you do not include others, we are actually denying the pleasure of being them, of being who they were created to be. And this is a difficult one because we find something to celebrate. And a lot of times we'll just pick out the people that we want to be there. But in any way, them and many others, that we need to welcome them and invite them into the celebrations so that they can come and celebrate God's glory, to celebrate that He has found the lost, that we are saved. And I'd really like to say that's what we're doing here. That we are celebrating together and we welcome our friends to come in and to celebrate with us. A lot of times when we think about inviting people to church, we think of all the different reasons they won't like it. Well, I'll tell you, I hope they'll like a celebration. And I think if we begin to celebrate, they'll understand that. That we have been set free, that we've been forgiven. We're not perfect, but we have a Savior that is moving us closer to what we've been created for. And as people come and we celebrate, they will want to celebrate with us. Invite people to church. Call it a celebration. Every Sunday we have a celebration. Come and join us. What kind of celebration is it? Well, we celebrate what God has been doing in people's lives. Invite them to Sunday school. This is what God has been doing. Invite them to CRC, to different events, because it's a celebration. Celebrating, connected to the church, connected straight to God, and it's about community and relationships. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and even more as the day is approaching." Let us not stop meeting together. Together. This is our celebration. At the YMCA, where we go and try to work out. I try to stay in shape, which is very difficult. But I try. I met a family. And the family was a Christian family, and I asked this younger boy, "Well, where do you go to church?" He says, "Well, we have church at home on Sunday." I said, "Oh, you do? Yeah, Dad decided that as a family we will have church at home." Now, I'm sure that's not the only family that has that mentality. But church is not done in the confines of a house with just your own self. We can take it just the individual. Kurt is having church in his house, in his small room, with God. He is holy. But then Kurt decides that he's going to welcome his family, and just their family has church. And this sounds good because now I've made it a little community. But that's not what God is talking about in His Scriptures. He's saying that we come and we join together and we continue to join together and we bring more people and we join together. And wherever you meet or location does not matter, but we join together to celebrate before the Lord. And this type of celebration the man at YMCA is doing, it's not biblical. It's not what it needs to be. And now, I know there's exceptions. I know some groups are missionaries. They're in the middle of nowhere. And their church is not started yet. And they worship as a family. That's great. But I believe in their heart, they're hoping that they'll find Dick, Jane, or Harry and say, "Come on, let's worship together." And they'll find another, Billy Bob, "Let's worship together." And pretty soon they begin to grow. That is the heart of God. And they get so large, they say, "Man, that part of the city and this part of the city, we're going to kind of move into these parts and celebrate together." God calls us to celebrate in Acts 27. On the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. God calls us, He commands us to meet together, to celebrate, to have a party here. The reason that we celebrate on this first day of the week or Sunday is because we are remembering the greatest celebration that occurred. the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That which was dead is now alive, which was in dark is now in light. That which was bound or in prison is now free. And so we come together on this first day to celebrate, to rejoice with one another. We become an army of God, band of believers, a united community. And you know, as we look, there's a lot of reasons not to come here. I mean, we all got to agree. When we get right down to it, we can find numerous reasons not to come here and celebrate. And there's a lot of toxins in the church today when it's about that. The early church, I don't think they quite understood this. I don't even think it kind of came to their mind a lot. It was a totally different aspect. But in our church today, there's a lot of toxins that stop the celebration, that stop the relationships. First of all, as Pastor Yong Kim had said, that if you're thinking that this is just religious stuff, you got it wrong. It's about relationships, relationship with the Creator God, our Father, and with one another. One we just mentioned, I worship at home. I worship on my own, the way I like it, the way I want to do it. Another one is that I hear a lot is I go to church to get fed. You ever hear that from someone? I'd like to meet the person who made that up. I don't get fed at that church. Well, what do you do with that? Because when I hear that, basically what comes to my mind is church is about me. If you ever had little kids, you know, first you feed them, and then you feed yourself. You know what? If it's all about me getting fed, my kids starve. So in the church, we have both. We feed others, and we are fed. And some of us, we really are trying to find the balance in that, and that's sometimes difficult. Man, I go to church, I don't get fed. I'm going to go to another church where I can get fed. I didn't get fed at that one either. I'm fed up. I'm just staying home. Watch TV and, flip the channels. When they go to, the preacher isn't speaking, I'll go to another channel, watch the race. Okay, back. But some of us, we're all about feeding. We're just feeders. We're in a church once, and there was a woman who taught Sunday school. She never came to worship. She came in the door, went right to her Sunday school. In the Sunday school room, hardly ever came out. She was, in her sense, feeding, feeding, feeding. I don't need to be fed. Well, when you talk to her, you're like, whoa, something's going on. She needs to be fed. We need to find that balance in the church with community. And we come and we receive. There will be times where we need to receive from the Lord and from one another. And there will be times where we need to give. And a lot of us are saying, man, in my state, there's nothing I can give to someone. Well, give your brokenness in a sense that I was broken and the Lord healed me. To give and receive. Another one I'll just bring up, toxins in church, and I don't know where this is all at. I don't got it all figured out, but my kids don't like church. A lot of you don't have kids, but if you're in that, my kids don't like church. I'd say, what? My kids don't like school. So I just say, okay, you don't like school, you don't have to go. You stay home, play video games, have a good time. No, you say, get your, to school. As mothers and fathers, as responsibility over our children, authority, we take our kids to school. Now, we have to open our ears and understand. Kids don't like church. Okay, well, what's up with that? I mean, but if they're a child that sits home and is entertained by, these great, I don't even know, Wii and Xbox and all these, it's going to be a little hard to get their mind focused on something that's not along that realm. So they don't come to church. Unity, community, and church, and celebrating. I say, as I mentioned at the outdoor worship, the bulletin. Are you a bulletin reader? You come in, head down, they give you the bulletin, you head to your seat, you open it up. Eye contact, left, right, forward, no. That's bad. The bulletin, it's all about the bulletin. It's all about the liturgy. What is the next step in the liturgy? Get my, you know, hymn number ready. Get the place marked. I used to be in a church like that. I mean, we got all prepared. We got all the hymns marked. We got all the prayers that we were going to read recited. And we took so much time preparing for this, it was hard for us to really to even look left or right and say, hey, what's up? You know? Be careful. I'm not saying that's all bad. I'm just saying it cuts down on community and the celebration that's going on. You and I were created to celebrate together, and we must be careful of those things that separate us. We said earlier, don't party alone. We need to be celebrating and worshiping together. And can you imagine being in a party alone? It's really weird to think about that concept. You in a room, all alone. Let's cut the cake and eat it. Who? Oh, me. I got so much cake, I guess I'm going to have to eat one piece and eat the rest for the next 20 days, which by that time it will be moldy. Let's take a picture. Everybody say cheese. Oh. Let's set the timer. It's just not in our concept to celebrate alone. But I'll tell you what, when people come into the church, sometimes that's how they feel. I'm here alone. And this is kind of difficult. Again, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're focused on the Lord. But at the same time, we're loving one another. How do we do that in a setting like this? First of all, to welcome people. Probably getting tired. Pastor Kurt is always saying welcome word. But to welcome one another. And next one is a great way, I think, to welcome is, you know, hey, come and sit beside me. And again, I know sometimes we're busy, we're focused, we're looking at the bulletin. But to say and welcome someone, come and sit beside me. And I'll guarantee you, 95% will say, that's good. I like it. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. But just the fact that I can sit beside someone is good. Welcome people to sit beside us. Brandon. How many of you know Brandon McNeil? He's not here. He's gone home. Maybe he'll listen to this online. Brandon does not have the same skin color as you and I. You do not have. Brandon is here. I bet you Brandon feels a little bit out of place. Would you think so? Can we welcome him? Can we say, Brandon, come and sit beside me. Hey, Brandon, great to have you here. Christopher and Alicia, they have returned home. Alicia, I don't know much about North Dakota, but she's from North Dakota. I would guess they have more cattle in North Dakota than people. But the fact that she is here, or they are here, or we can just say that anyone is here, is wonderful. And we should welcome them and come and sit beside me and let us celebrate the Lord together. To celebrate the Lord together. Because one day, what the Word tells us, every nation, every people, every language, tribe, and tongue, we'll celebrate before the Lord together. Last of all, and I finish with this, and then our conclusion is 1 Corinthians 13 says, if one part of the body rejoices, we rejoice with them. Now, I'm just going to say that for me, maybe for you, when another person's celebrating, that's sometimes kind of difficult. And the reason is because I wish, you know, we're celebrating about that person. I wish they were celebrating about me. And sometimes it's hard to celebrate what other people are doing. But in the church, we have to focus that it's not about me. Even if that person that we're celebrating about, it's their birthday or it's their baptism or it's their graduation or whatever, they've won the trophy of the year of being the best bulletin giver outer, whatever it is, that it's not even about them. It's about us. It's about God and you and me together celebrating that that coin was found, that that lost sheep had come home, that the lost son had come home, that we are saved, that we are set free. And together, no matter who we are, we celebrate together. Now, I'd just like to say, I believe that we as Christians can be the best partiers that the world has ever seen. I believe that we can be the people who celebrate in the greatest way that the world has ever seen. And I believe one day, that day will come. Because of our focus. Our focus is not on the beer we drink. The focus is not on the music we sing. The focus is on people. That is our focus. And we are called to even focus and celebrate when times are difficult. Our focus is on the person of Jesus Christ, the God Jesus Christ, and our focus is on one another. And we bring those together in an amazing way that the world will see that we, as Christians, celebrate in the greatest way ever. That we have been set free. That we have been forgiven. That one day we know we will be with God in heaven. Today, I'd like to do a little bit of celebrating just in the fact that we have some people graduating from high school. I remember when I graduated from high school, that was awesome. I finally made it. Sorry, many of you may like school, but I was like, prison is over. I'm going to college to join prison again, but prison is over for this at least. And so today what I'd like us to do is just in part of the celebration, and we celebrate in different ways, but to pray for those who are graduating and to celebrate with them. Now, some of you are juniors and you're like, man, I still got a year to go. I don't want to celebrate. No, now is the time to celebrate with them, for one day we will celebrate with you. So we'd like to have the seniors come up, and we are going to pray for you and with you. Lisa and Christine, Jimmy is not here, Jesse, and Crystal. Crystal's not here. Okay, go ahead, Jesse. Come on up front here. And I'd like all of us to stand up and move forward. Careful of the cords. Let's join a circle around them. Bless these sisters. Love and encourage them. And I just want us to go ahead and pray out. We call this open mouth prayer. Everyone prays a little bit out loud, a little bit softly. And then I'll have, when I have Malon and Dan, and then I'll finish with a prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for these ladies. We thank you, God, for their love for you. And we thank you, God, for their life and the
though times have been difficult and times have been rough, Lord Jesus, God, that we ask that you would continue to propel them forward with the Holy Spirit. God, that you would fill them, God, with a heart of joy. God, a heart of compassion and sacrifice. God, that you would fill them, God, with a heart to die for themselves and live for you, Jesus. God, that you would empower them. God, that you would encourage them. God, that you would love them wherever they go and whatever they do. Oh, Jesus, we just praise you and thank you for them. Oh, Jesus, thank you.
Father God, we thank you for Jesse.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for Lisa. We thank you for Kristen.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you, Father, that we've seen your hand upon each and every one of their lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we celebrate with them as they finish high school through all these years of hard work.
Yes.
Father, as they're getting ready to go into college, God, we pray that your presence will go with them.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, that you will bless them, Lord, with good friends. God, that you will bless them with just the joy of learning. And more than anything, God, that is in these 4 years of college, Lord, that they will come to know the calling that you have upon each and every one of their lives.
Amen.
Lord, that they will come and realize more and more of your love for each one of them, of their unique shape, or their personalities, and the gifts that you have given them. God, most of all, Lord, let them always know that you go before them. And may they also hold on to you, run to you, that they would know more through your eyes is who you have created them to be and how they can glorify their lives or to magnify your name. Each one of them, we celebrate with them this day.
Lord, thank you for Jesse, Christine, Lisa, for Crystal, for Jimmy, for bringing them through this chapter of their lives. And as they close this chapter and move on to the next one, Lord, we pray that they would experience you even more in the part of their lives called their college years. Lord, they would find friends that would encourage them, that would bring them closer to you, that they would have times of celebration together with their friends, and new friends from here, from many different parts of the world or states. Lord, that they would be encouraged to live a deeper life for you.
God, we just thank you so much for Jesse and Christine and Lisa. God, and we ask that you would see their hearts and their souls. God, that you would draw them unto you this day. God, that as they've been through life and the journey that has been difficult, Lord, God, may you call them to rejoice in you and the salvation that you've given them. God, may you put a hedge of protection over them as they continue to travel. God, as Dan has prayed, surround them with your community and your friends, Lord. And God, that you would put a calling upon their life and let them follow you. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we rejoice together today with you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, sisters.